The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." After the master of the house had arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, "Lord, open the door for us." He will say to you in reply, "I do not know where you are from." And you will say, "We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets." Then he will say to you, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers." And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out, and people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and from the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I tell you, the readings the last 2 weeks have been kind of rough on us regular people. You know, last year, hoping that the fire would come and consume everybody, it was time for it to be done. Today we talk about punishment and how we should see joy in that. Well, I can tell you, I remember from when I was a kid and I was received punishment, there was never any joy on my side. But now, looking back, long, long time, I can kind of see what my parents and my teachers, especially my poor teachers, what they were trying to teach me. But it's not all sin and punishment. You got to have a sense of humor to make it through this life. And I love telling a tale about a young priest that I got to serve with him his first Mass here at St. Joe's. He had been a priest for 6 months up in Woodward. Father Manasco was the priest here. You probably remember Father Billy. He looked like a bobblehead Jesus, only he had glasses on. But anyway, very first Mass, it was a Saturday Mass. We were doing 5 o'clock Mass. We got through it, and right before it started, he comes. He says, "This is just a little sticky post-it note." It says, "Do this wedding after the 5 o'clock Mass." He didn't have any idea. First time he had seen it. Father Manasco was pulling a quick one on him. So he was lost, just like I am most of the time. He was, "Well, what? I said, "Hey, I'll help you get set up, okay? I'll help you do that." And I said, "Do you have your book?" You know, and we all have the book, the loose leaf book. You put the pages in, it has every prayer, every blessing, every reading, everything for a wedding ceremony in there. He goes, "Yeah, I've got one of those." He runs next door to the rectory, and he comes back and he hands me this loose leaf book, no binder, still in a plastic wrapper. He goes, "Yeah, here it is." I said, "Well, you don't need all of it, you just need a page from A, a page from B." He said, "Oh." I said, "I'll take care of it for you." So, this is so funny. So we get all of this done, and I get his book, and I put, you know, one of each page in there so he can go through all the blessings. And I change all the altar cloths out from green to white. It's a wedding, have to have everything white. So, I said, "You want me to just stay here and help out with you, you know, I'll do whatever you need." "Oh, please, thank you so much." So we do all that, and Father Billy and I, we sat here, and we wait, and we wait, and we and people would come in. Finally, about 6:30, quarter till 7, somebody comes running over and says, "Are you coming to do the wedding?" And Father Billy goes, "We're here." And he goes, "It's in the chapel." Nobody knew it was in the chapel. So off we go. We run over to the chapel. And we get there, and we're getting all set up and everything ready to go. And, of course, the chapel looked fairly full because it's not all that huge. And we were getting ready to go. And he looks at me and he goes, "What's their names?" I said, "What's whose name?" He goes, "The bride and the groom." He said, "What's their name?" I said, "Father, I do not know. I've never met them. It's like my first day almost, too." But anyway, he says, "Well, can you go find out for me?" I said, "Yeah." So I find this. It looked like a yellow legal pad about that big, but, you know, they're about so big. So I get it, and I take it out. Bride and groom sitting right in the front row. And I said, "Father Billy needs your full names to make sure he has everything filled out correctly. Would you please write them down here?" So they wrote them all down, and I take them back. And I said, "Here you go." We tore it off, wrote it on another little sticky note, and put it in his book. And so finally, we get out, and Father Billy is doing a magnificent job at this wedding. I mean, he is doing the opening prayers and giving God all the glory. And then we look, and there's a guy out there in about the fifth row going, "Father, Father." Finally, Father Billy stops. He said, "Do you need something?" And he goes, "Don't you think we should wait till the groom comes back?" Apparently, the bathroom break had to be made before we made it out there. Anyway, we got all through that. And it was really, it turned out to be a really nice wedding. And I'm sure it's one that they'll remember for a long, long time. And when I run into Father Billy, that's one of the two funny little stories that I have with him. But, you know, here we talk about a different thing that's, there was not really a lot of humor in some of the readings that we have. You know, in the second reading today, they said discipline, discipline. Five times you're going to be disciplined. And then they say that, well, eventually that will lead to peace and everything else. And it's, you know, sometimes that discipline takes years to really think, you know, to sink in, and you understand what you're being disciplined for. All I know is I could not outrun my dad, and I couldn't outthrow my mom. So, you know how women are with their flip-flops? Come on, that couldn't just be me. But anyway, you know, the discipline, and they talk about the pain that comes with that. And I found that as we get older, if you want to take the TV away from me, I don't care. You can take my iPhone away. I don't know how to use it anyway. It doesn't matter to me. You know, ground me. I love being stuck at home right now. It doesn't bother me at all. But, you know, now the discipline for us is different. You know, we see our families and our friends and their families and how splintered they have become over the years. And it's almost like this is a funeral that we're at and we're attending sometimes, but it's almost like a family reunion because the families don't speak to each other anymore. It's like when he said, "There will be division in your family, you know, father against son, son against father, mother, daughter, daughter-in-law, and on." That happens every day, and it happens to people that we know. It happens to our friends and our family. And those are the lessons that are really, really hard for me to understand. And I think, I get so mad at God because of these things that happen. And then I think, well, at least I believe in God, so I can get mad and I can, because I don't understand. I can't figure it out. You know, why do you take these things away from us? Things that are so precious to us. But it's life lessons. And all of us here have probably experienced those in some way or another, where we've had family or friends. And those are the different kinds of pain from when we're young until we become adults. And the pain from when I was young was way more tolerable than the pain that I endure now and all the things that have happened. But, you know, Jesus, he talks, and I have to think that he would have to laugh a little bit at things that he's seen and done along the way, walking. It's like my Walmart stories, except he's seeing different people in different towns and going all over the place. He must see some things. But he was always teaching them and always telling them, this is what you've got to do. This is how you need to live. And I ask him a question. It's just like today. Lord, how do we get there? Well, you've got to do this, or you've got to. But he never answered their question. How many of us are going to make it to heaven? Some people tell you 144,000. It's way more than that, I hope. If it's not, then hey, maybe I'll be on the standby list or something. But, you know, you ask a question, but you don't get a direct answer. It's like, here's what I'm going to tell you. You love your neighbor. You love that person sitting in the pew next to you. Well, I know you do. I can see how you're all snuggled up there. But you love each other. You take care of each other. Even if, yeah, I don't know you. You know, I don't know your name, but if it was tomorrow, I'd have a pocket full of Tootsie Pops to give you. But you take care of those people. You take care of everyone. You take care of yourself. And you do all those things. And even at that, you know, God said, they said, well, you know, you're going to come and you're going to say, hey, we ate and we drank with you. We walked with you in the streets. When did we eat and drink with the Lord? Every day at Mass. We come to this table, to this altar, and we share in the body and blood of Christ. And what Christ is telling us is, hey, I came down. I'm here. But don't keep me locked up in that gold box. Take me into yourself, and then take yourself out into the world and spread that. What I have given you, you give to others. I've got one more thing here. And this was, I'll let you see if you can guess who wrote this. Silver dollar to anybody that can figure this out. Clergy not included. Okay, here it is. Story about an Irishman, 20% Irish, by the way, who having died suddenly approached the divine tribunal and was considerably worried. The balance sheet of his life looked pretty poor to him. There was a line waiting in front of him, so he watched and he listened. After having consulted the great ledger, Christ said to the first guy that was up in line in front of him, I see that I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Good for you. You go to paradise. Next guy steps up. God says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. You enter paradise also. Third guy walks up. God says, I was in prison and you came to visit me. so you can go to paradise. And this went on and on. Everybody in front of him was getting into paradise, and he was getting worried. So he had never given anybody anything to drink, which was, I thought, strange for an Irish guy. Never visit anybody that was sick or in jail, and never given anybody anything to eat. So he came up in front of God, and he was trembling as he looked at Christ, as he was looking over his ledger. Probably like that, like mine. Maybe have one line in it and a big question mark at the end of it. But Christ looked up and says, you know, there's not much written here. However, you also did something. He said, I was sad. I was dejected. I was humiliated. You came. You told me jokes. You made me laugh. And by that, you restored my courage. So you also go to paradise. So who wrote it? Pope John Paul I. It's my history lesson for today. God bless you all.